Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
A government-appointed commission on taxation has recommended that there should be a substantial reduction in the amount of money that parents can leave to their children tax-free. The Commission on Taxation and Welfare, which is set up to publish their report to the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, on Wednesday, they've made the argument that the current rate, which is €335,000 that a child can receive before they have to pay the tax at 33%, is too high and it should be lowered. For more of this, for more on this and for a reaction, I'm joined by David Quinn, Managing Director of InvestWise, and by Keith Walsh, Family Law Solicitor. Keith, let me start with you. Are they right? Is €335,000 tax-free too much of a windfall for each individual child?
I don't believe it is, I have to say, and I think that any change to the threshold is going to cause huge issues. I mean, the housing difficulties faced by people all over the country, but particularly in the large urban areas and Dublin, Cork, Limerick and Galway in particular, mean that, I suppose, what they used to call the bank of mum and dad is going to be under pressure. We also have a relatively high percentage rate in that it's 33% on everything over €335,000 that would be gifted to a child. So when you combine both of those things, any drop in the threshold is going to lead to difficulties. I think it'll be hugely politically unpopular, and I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do. Remember that back in the early 90s to about 2008, the inheritance or gift tax rate was 20%. It then went to 22%, 25%, 30%, and it's now at 33%. So there's quite a high percentage rate already, and a movement in the threshold would cause, I think, difficulties for people. So from that point of view, I certainly would be entirely opposed to it, and I think many parents and children who hope to benefit would be against it. The other, I suppose, I do quite a lot of family law, and in particular on marital breakdown, you see the huge amount of contributions the parents actually make in practice, because when you're unpicking a problem or trying to sort a couple out in terms of their family home, you see where the money came from to buy that house. And quite often, parents on one or both sides will have contributed a fairly substantial gift. The people who are left out of, if you like, tax-free allowances and stuff are people who live together as cohabitants. So I would like to see a reform of the tax system in relation to cohabitants. A married couple don't pay any tax between themselves, but a cohabitant would pay tax.
Rather than moving down that possibly very legitimate secondary issue, let's stay with the first one, which is that thing of inheritance tax. You mentioned how significant a political matter it might be. By coincidence, I happened to be reading a book on the history of the Department of Finance, and it was detailing the shift from estate tax to wealth taxes in the late 60s, early 70s, and what a political nightmare it ended up being before it was abandoned. David Quinn is with us, Managing Director of InvestWise. David, it's going to be a brave government who decides to root around at this, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. Like, there is clearly some political pressure coming on them from a number of different angles. I think they want to diversify their tax take. We saw the tax numbers last week, so heavily reliant on corporate taxes. So, and I think also, you know, looming changes in the government in the next general election to a more left-leaning government probably is influencing this government to maybe get ahead of some changes that might be coming down the
line. Although even Sinn Féin has been very careful around principal primary residence and farm transfers and inheritances.
Very much so, yes. But I do think the bank of mum and dad, as Keith said, is a target, and they're worried about that and how it might be influencing the housing market. I think the commission for taxation report probably threw out quite a general statement on what they see happening to capital taxes. And I can see that being refined to a certain extent. And it will cause difficulty, as Keith said, across the board.
Can I go back to Keith, you on this, on the thing of the bank of mum and dad? Because if the bank of mum and dad was giving you your deposit, 40, 50 grand, it's a significant factor. If the bank of mum and dad is handing you €335,000, it's the lottery of mum and dad. And if the issue is to do with the transfer of the principal primary residence, if the average house price in Dublin, let's say, is around the 400 grand mark, you could maybe make an argument for the capacity to transfer that home to the children as a group. But the notion that if you have five kids, you can do a tax-free transfer of €1.6 million, that is simply an excuse to keep wealth an intergenerational thing and not to have it taxed.
Well, what will happen is on debt, the threshold still applies as well. So I suppose what the lifetime transfer, like the tax is the same whether it's a gift or whether it's paid on debt. So if you use up part of your threshold, so for example, say your parents leave you or give you a gift of 200,000 or 100,000 to buy your house, you then are going to lose that 100,000 part of your threshold on the inheritance.
But hang on a minute, Keith, to the bigger point, if I am a rich person and I have €1.6 million and five kids, why should I be able to enrich those five children to the tune of €1.6 million tax-free? All that does is make sure that the rich stay rich intergenerationally.
Well, I suppose that's what the current threshold is, and that's what it has been for about 10 years. And I suppose the community and society as a whole has been happy with that, and the political establishment. We've had a huge amount of upheaval. And now they're looking to change that to potentially reduce it. I suppose my point is that, look, that's the current situation on death or in life. And it's particularly of benefit to people to pass over money. Most money that's been inherited or passed on, income tax has been paid on it or capital gains tax has been paid on it. These are the net proceeds where tax has already been paid on it once by the parent, presumably. And instead of them enriching themselves, parents are quite rightly often trying to assist their children. And I mean, there is
but a they can still do that. They would just have to do it while bearing a capital gains tax cost, the same way if they decided to support anybody else, they would be able to do it. Why should the child of somebody who isn't rich be bidding in a house market against somebody whose parent has been able to gift them a house tax free?
Well, when you put it like that, it is quite a difficult point to make. But at the same time, there should be some level of fairness to do with capital taxes. And the question is, what is a fair threshold? I mean, the threshold of 335 per child, it seems to be a reasonable one where there's a high rate. I mean, an alternative would be that you might reduce the rate to 20% or 30% or 25% and then remove the threshold. So there's a degree of payment, but the threshold is lower. So I think where you have a 33% threshold, which is quite a high threshold, it's a third of the value of the gift that somebody is giving. I think there's ways of looking at it rather than just simply reduce the threshold. You could also look at reducing, if you like, the percentage. And I mean, as I said, from 1999 to 2008, the capital acquisitions tax threshold was, or the rate of tax was 20%. But a third is slightly more prohibitive. And again, what you want to do is you do want to see money being loosened up to allow people to transfer money.
But on that, I mean, David Quinn, let me bring you in on this as managing director of InvestWise. It is one thing again to say about the transfer of the family home. So let's say somebody comes to you and says, "Okay, I have the two bed semi in Cabra, and I want to make sure that the kids get it. It's worth about 400k or 350, and I can transfer that to the my children." Most people, I suspect, would say that's fine. I assume that if somebody comes to you and says, "Look, I'm sitting on about 2 million quid here and I've got five kids," the first thing you're going to say is make sure you leave every one of them €335,000.
Yes. Actually, the first thing I would be telling a lot of clients to come to me with that kind of money is to go and spend it themselves and enjoy the riches of 40 years of hard work, to be honest, and not leave it to the kids. But if we get to the point where they really want to do it, yes, you have to use the thresholds and every other tool available to you under the system. The small gift exemption is a very powerful tool over the long term. There are you know, ways and means for parents to do this legitimately and under the current tax rules, we would encourage people.
So that means the current tax system incentivizes that intergenerational transfer of wealth.
To a certain extent, it does. At the kind of levels of normal people, yes, there is a threshold which is almost like a target for people. And I see parents working extremely hard and sacrificing to create these sums of money to support their kids because they see how difficult it is to get on the housing ladder. And it's not always extremely wealthy people. It's normal working people who just decide not to, you know, move to a bigger house themselves or not to buy the car because they want to put this money away for the kids.
Hang on a minute, David. If you have four kids and you're able to match the top of this threshold, that means you have 1.2 million quid in spare capital at the point at which you either pop your clogs or at the point at which you decide to transfer it to your kids. That's a rich person.
I wouldn't necessarily be anchoring to the 335 figure particularly. I see a lot of families just putting a certain amount aside to cover deposits for houses.
Keith, you wanted to come back in on that?
I was just going to say, most people now, unfortunately, don't have four or five kids. They've one or two children. I mean, the last census indicated that we've much smaller families now. So, I mean, if you're talking about a house in Camper or a house in Crumlin, they probably are worth well over 300,000. So even if you're just leaving it to your only child or to two children, you're not necessarily going to be a million miles away from there. There is a very useful tax exemption called dwelling house relief, which unfortunately only applies when the parent, the surviving last parent dies, that if they leave the dwelling house and the dependent or the son or daughter is living in it, there will be a degree of relief from taxation. And maybe in terms of hitting it, there should be another look at the dwelling house relief to allow that where you have a dependent son or daughter, or where you have a son or daughter who doesn't have any other house, and the last parent maybe wants to live in a granny flat or something, but they could transfer the property over to the son or daughter. And these are not people with huge amounts of money. This is where there's maybe one or two children and they actually need housing. And we're in the middle of a housing crisis. And I do appreciate that you don't want to fuel the housing crisis, but there has to be means available to people to assist their children if they do have the money to allow them to buy houses at the minute as well.
That last statement I would have thought might be something of a leap. Why does there have to be means available for parental wealth to transfer to children? Whatever about saying they should be able to protect the family home or be able to transfer it so that if you happen to live in a small rural area...
People have generally, in all cases, you're talking, the money that people have is the net money. They've already paid tax on it once already. And if there is an incentive in society, and we do live in a free market society where people are allowed to generate wealth, and I mean, there is a level of fairness as well, not just in terms of taxpayers, but also in terms of capital tax, that, you know, there has to be a reasonable level of taxation. And I think one of the things is to change.
But none of this prevents the individual from generating wealth. If you took out this €335,000 threshold, the individual could generate wealth and follow David Quinn's advice. They could spend every penny of it on themselves during their retirement. They just couldn't enrich another generation and so on for generations of rich people making other people rich.
But the tax system to function and for us all to buy into it has to work equitably. And what I'm saying is, look, if you're going to reduce the threshold, you also look at potentially changing the percentage tax that's paid. That you can do it creatively, and you also maybe look at the gaps. And one of the gaps, if you're looking at people who aren't passing on intergenerational wealth, but who are passing on houses only to live in from parents to children, that you should look at that and to make sure that if you do reduce the threshold, that it doesn't hit those groups who aren't passing on the wealth but are only passing on a dwelling house, wherever it is. So I'm saying that, look, if you are going to reduce the threshold, and I'm not in favour of it, but if you're going to do it, I think we need to look at a whole range of other areas like the dwelling house relief and maybe allow it not to just pass when parents die, but the parents could do it during their lifetime. And the parent could live in a granny flat, which happens quite a bit, or they could they could do whatever they're going to
do. Although presumably you need to be careful about the kind of incentives that are in play there, because if you have an elderly relative who would do better being in institutional care and you incentivise to the tune of several million the kids to say keep them in a granny flat
because that's the only way you get the house. If you go back and if it's one or two children, which is the case in an awful lot of families, it's not millions, it's hundreds of thousands. And also, I mean, the difficulty as well, remember the government has a nursing home scheme as well, which means that if a parent goes into a nursing home scheme, the government claws back quite a lot from the dwelling house, the place they lived in. So people are slightly reluctant, and I've seen a huge number of cases where people are reluctant to go into nursing homes because maybe they're surviving the other spouse.
Let me go back to the place where we all started. If you were both betting men, and I don't know if you are, what do you think are the chances that anybody is going to touch that €335,000 limit in any significant way? Keith?
I would think there's a low chance of it.
David?
Currently.
I think it's very unlikely, Anton.
David Quinn, Managing Director of InvestWise, and Keith Walsh, Family Law Solicitor. Thank you both very much. Tech saying, I think your argument on intergenerational wealth is divisive. Parents have saved a lot. It's not just about buying a house. They probably scrimped and saved for this. They probably did not go on elaborate holidays. It's not up to you or anybody else to tell them how they can spend their disposable income.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.